The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, we are, as always, bringing you the best and intimate information on your health and wellness and the things that you can do to make life a whole lot better, particularly in the challenging environment that we're in. We want you to have all the information that you can possibly have to protect yourself and protect your family. That's why we do the program. You know, baby, it's cold outside today, right? Chilly and wet and so forth. So make sure that you don't use it as an excuse to stay inside. Or if you do, make sure you do a little stretching, a little breathing. If you have stairs, you walk up and down the stairs, things of that nature. But, you know, if you put a hat on, you put a scarf around your neck, you bundle up, you go for a walk, guess what? You're going to be totally cool and go for a walk for about a half hour and then come back in. 50 minutes out, 50 minutes back. Got a special program for you today. We're going to be talking about something that affects way too many people, and it's a problem that causes you to be not functional. It causes you to break down. You may have to stop. Sometimes they're going to tell you, well, we have to have surgery, and you know, before that, they're injecting a whole lot of steroids in your body, and it's an ongoing process. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about hip and knee pain. And guess what? Those problems, hip and knee problems, can be modified, can be fixed, can be restored back to normal. But there's a lot of nuances that are associated with it. But, you know, who better than Dr. Scott Lamp to sit here with me and to talk about this? Hey, Scott, good morning.
Yeah, well, good afternoon. I guess it's noontime, isn't
it? Not yet. It's still morning. It's 11 o'clock.
Okay. See? Oh, that's right. You know what? I'm back. Now I got to do the other class on the senility part.
That's right. So we'll forgive you that. But you know, what you're really thinking about is that we were always doing the program at 12 o'clock.
Right.
And then, but we were getting bumped for half of the year because the Washington football team, I almost said the nasty word, right?
You slipped.
Yeah, I still love that word. But anyway, at the end of the day, the program is at 11 o'clock. So right. We're going to have to remember that it is boarding time and not afternoon time. Scott, seriously, let's get into the program. It's one that is quite significant. And let me kind of just throw something out so our listeners really understand this. How many people, what's the incidence of hip and knee pain, would you guess, you know, throughout the United States?
I'd say probably somewhere in the neighborhood of about 10 million. Possibly more that go around that have some major, major problems. And then there's a lot of people who don't even report it. So you're looking at 10, 15 million that you're looking at. And again, I think the number is a lot more than that.
Well, that's, you know, based on what we see in the office, you know, everybody said, well, my hip hurts, my knee hurts, but it's usually associated with something else. And we're going to talk about those something else's, if you will, as people go through. But I think that the numbers relative to people putting up with or adapting and so forth are far higher than that. You know, there's folks that end up with.
Well, let me correct that. It's more like severe pain. So when you're talking about severe pain, where you're talking about things between 7 and 10 on a pain scale of 10, 15 million would be where they're coming and maybe asking their doctor about it. Let me just reframe that.
Got it.
Multiply that greatly because of the fact that there's also ones that are not complaining about it.
So what you're really talking about between pain that's reported and then ultimately some people ending up with, you know, surgical intervention and the like, you're talking about something that can affect, you know, over 10% of the population of the United States, which is really amazing. So, you know, when a patient comes in and we're dealing with knee pain, you know, they tell you, you know, I can't go upstairs anymore, or, you know, I have a difficult time getting from a sitting to a standing position. You know, or, you know, I'm limping around. I'm finding that I have to hand pull myself along things. I'm limping all the time. How do you know it's a hip and knee problem and not something else?
Well, I think you have to do a full exam. And I think you got to look at, and when we're talking about these things, it's really like our mantra of structure, chemistry, emotion, you got to take a look at the whole element. Because when you're looking at a knee, for example, not the hip necessarily, but the hip falls into that, 80% of the time, the knee pain is from somewhere else. It's from an ankle problem. The ankle's like has a flat foot, rolling the foot the wrong way puts torsion on the knee. Or it could be a hip problem that could be causing the problem. So a lot of times, since the knee is so mobile and has, you know, a lot of different strains on it, and also a lot of different strains built in just because of the differences of anatomy between males and females, you can get a lot of things that are there that are, you think it's a knee problem, it's something else. That's just biomechanical.
You know, in our world, in the world of applied kinesiology, which is, you know, we look for muscle relationships to other systems in the body, and there are multiple systems, as we've talked about, everything from, you know, the internal environment, the organ areas, to acupuncture areas, to blood supply and so forth. But those are the things that are other things that you're talking about. But you have a patient that comes in and they got a swollen knee. You know, right. This big old fat knee, and they tell you that, you know, it hurts. Now you got to distinguish, why is the knee swollen? What's going on? Well, you have multiple muscles that are surrounding that thing. You have muscles that extend the knee, you have muscles that flex the knee, you have muscles that stabilize the knee. How do we know, you know, obviously we're going to get more into it, but how do we know that we, you know, that this is a mechanical problem and not something else?
Well, I mean, you got to take a look at the examination and look at the findings, maybe even some blood work and things of that nature. Is there something else that might be feeding into this? I mean, there is things that we have that we might have infectious agents that might be in the joint itself. There's things that have autoimmune disease possibilities. There's a critter in there and the body's trying to go after it. We could have problems in regards to even like heavy metals that sometimes can have a tendency to weaken our systems to let some of these things thrive in our bodies. So there's chemical based type things, problems. When you hear the term like rheumatoid arthritis, which is really not, it's a wearing down, but there's a critter that's something that's inside the joint eating it away. So there's those things like that, or there could be other things. And I think we were talking earlier before about how the heavy metals play a part in the body. And you might have some things coming even from the aspects of things that are in, that are like prosthetics put in our mouth and other places, exposure to other metals in their diets and those kind of things, and vaccinations and those kind of things. You got to look at the whole person. It's what you're asking for is something that's, okay, what's the whole picture of this person? What is their blood look like? What is their chemistry looking like? What is their, even like things like, you know, you were talking about before, organ relationships in relationship to even those muscles you're talking about. Those muscles have relationships, not just to go expand and contract. They actually have a brother-sister relationship in organ systems, small intestine, gallbladder, large intestine, adrenals. All those play a part in that area.
You know, it's interesting, Scott, that, you know, you're starting to touch on it. I wanted to get into that a little bit. The, you know, when you're talking about organ functions as it relate to different joint space problems, there's one that is subtle that, and sometimes, you know, it's, you can't identify it as rapidly because it is subtle, and it manifests often in the toe. And I'm talking about gout.
Right.
And gout, when the big toe is throbbing, you know that you got a problem. It's hot, it's throbbing, you can't walk on it. It's usually gout. But when the knee is involved, you get a subtlety within the knee. You get a little swelling within the knee. Now, it can get as bad as the toe, but why? Yeah. The problem is that we have an acupuncture channel that flows from the big toe all the way up that has to do with liver function, and that's where gout comes from. How do you distinguish? Somebody comes in and says, Doc, you know, I walked up the stairs the other day. I seemed to do something to my knee, and now it's swelling, and I can't straighten it out. How do you go about and say, hey, I got a gout problem here, and it's not just a mechanical issue?
Well, I mean, if you take a look at the liver, you check for liver points, and there's ways that we do in the office that we check for those points, and we can take a look at those elements. There's one in just on the inside part of the knee that you're talking about as it passes through and goes down to the big toe. You look at those. The same thing, even though this is a liver meridian running down, it also might show up in other places in the body that you don't realize, like basically a rhomboid, which is a muscle in your back that pulls your shoulder blades back. And the pectoral muscle is a muscle in the front that actually might show weakness where otherwise, like, why is this weak? and why does this person have a gout problem? There might be a correlation to that.
You know, just so our audience understands, how we look at things is very different from trying to understand why something occurs. So what I mean by that is this. In the body neurologically, there's input and there's outflow. So you have a brain and you have a spinal cord. You have 31 pairs of nerves that come off. These nerves do something interesting as they exit from the spine. They divide. One branch goes inside the body and hooks up to an organ system. Another part goes to the muscle or a muscle someplace. So you have this muscle-organ connection that's going on. So a muscle can become less functional, less facilitated, if you will, or we can use the term weak, which is kind of a broad spectrum vernacular. And now it doesn't stabilize the joint, but the joint now is the subject of injury. It can happen subtly. It can be happen significantly from an impact. But what set it up, if you will, was that relationship between the internal environment and the external muscle itself.
Yeah. And the influence of a muscle, you get one muscle that goes weak. A lot of times what happens when we find problems, I think, Tom, you would agree with me on this, 80% of the time, it's usually the muscle that's weak. It's not the muscle that's strong or actually too tight. It's the weak muscle that's a problem.
That's right.
You got a lot of subtle things that can change muscle weakness. So especially on the knee, because of the pivot changes of the knee and the going in and out and actually can bend inward or bend outward or get pigeon-toed or knock-kneed, when you have that, you need to have all those things functioning well. If not, then it's that subtle difference. And all of a sudden now the mechanical wear and tear can be accelerated because of that pivot point right at that spot of that knee.
We're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to hear from you. Give us a call, whether it's on knee and hip pain. We're going to talk about that hip as well as we go through. Or anything that's on your mind. If you have a problem about something that's happening to you and you want to know a little data, a little information on it, well, here's your opportunity. Call us. We'll talk about it. We'll make it happen. My guest in studio today, Dr. Scott Lamp, and my studio is my home these days. You know, this COVID thing, I'm getting to like it, Scott. You know, I don't have to go anywhere. You just kind of hang out here. And, you know, we were talking to our rep at WMAL before the program, and she was telling me, she said, you know, after COVID, you're going to come back to the studio. I said, I'm not sure. Sounds pretty good from here. I get getting pretty lazy over this thing. Anyway, we're talking about hip and knee pain. And Scott, let's get a little deeper into the pattern. Somebody comes in and now how do you distinguish something that's fixable and something that's, oh my God, I've got bone on bone here and there's no fix anymore?
Well, I think first off, I think it's good to be able to take a look at the joint. We like to sometimes take x-rays from for a reason and how much degeneration that's down there. But we want to take a look at that. But then, and even then in that particular case, what can we do in regards to, you know, how much range of motion do they have? How much scar tissue is there? Plays the game in regards to how much we can actually help that person. Somebody has a gross distortion of their knee. They got bow-legged, or they're actually knock-kneed. You have to take into consideration of all those factors to make a decision if you need to go that way. But I think they should get
Scott,
rid of...
Hold that thought. We're coming up to a break, and I want to continue on that that process. We're talking about a very fascinating area, knees and hips and things that allow us to enjoy life, and where they're not working, we can't. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. We'll be right back after some very important messages. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I am, always, and, you know, getting better by the day. My guest today, Dr. Scott Lamp. We're talking about something that affects huge numbers of people throughout the country and stops us from enjoying our world, particularly as we get older. We're talking about hip and knee pain, you know, the inability to walk upstairs, walk over, walk, do the things that you like to do, that kind of stuff. And it's important that we understand the mechanisms and not just wait until we have to have surgery. You know, you hear so many physicians say, well, you know, when you can't put up with it anymore, come and see me and then we'll do the surgery. Well, hip and knee replacement surgery is not necessarily the way to go. Yeah, it takes away the pain because now you've taken away all the nerve roots and everything that go to that. And 10 years out, 80% to 85% of the surgeries are still deemed functional and successful because the pain isn't at the crescendo, if you would, as it was many years ago. So in the short term, because of the blunting of the nervous system, but you still can't do the things that we need to do. Dr. Scott Lamp, my guest today, we're talking about this. Scott, welcome back. Let's jump into where we left off before the program.
Okay, where were we?
CIR. I worry about you, my friend. I really worry about you. No, we were talking about what I wanted to get into was organ muscle patterns and the relationship between the stress patterns and how it could affect. And you know, I know you had a patient that was a young girl, gymnast, I think you said, and couldn't plant. And it was about the hip and knee, and you fixed it, but it wouldn't resolve until, and I'll let you fill in the blank.
Well, I think one of the things that until we dealt with an emotional part, and it's kind of interesting, why don't we talk about emotions and knees? Well, in Chinese medicine, a lot of times you'll look at an emotional relationship between an organ system and an emotion. And in this particular one, that the person had a knee injury, she couldn't quite plant. She got better, but she was probably at a 2 out of 10 on the scale, and she couldn't quite get that holding position when she landed until we started dealing with the emotional part of, well, the muscle relationship and the emotional part is a gallbladder situation. A gallbladder in Chinese medicine is resentment. And she had some things that she was dealing with that she was dealing at that particular time and dealing with this thought process of resentment. Once she understood that, and once we started working with the gallbladder and gallbladder meridians, the pain just went away. She was able to plant and continue on. So it's an interesting thing that there was a muscle structural component that was bad. We fixed it, but it still wasn't all the way. You had to take a look at some other components, and she was completely pain-free from it.
You know, the body is such an intimately integrated piece of machinery, and you never know why things don't function. We were talking about another problem with shoulder pain, and you brought up the idea that that shoulder has to do often with anger, particularly in the world of COVID. You know, people are just totally upset. You know, what's that? What's that relationship all about? Why would shoulder pain show up and inability to raise your arm and do things with it because of anger?
Well, again, in Chinese medicine, you got brother or sister. Like we talk about, like, the organ is one part of the family, and the other part of the family is the muscle. And when you talk about muscles for the liver, you're talking about the pec sternal muscle. It's a pec muscle in the front. It also has a rhomboid muscle, which is the muscle that retracts your shoulder blade in the backside. So if the anger is part of the liver, which is associated with the soul family, then all the parts start to seem to be affected. And all of a sudden now the muscles don't stabilize the shoulder seems to have a problem. And like I was telling you before, I had 1 week, I had about 25 people with shoulder problems out of nowhere, no physical manifestation that seemed to happen, but you had to deal with the COVID situation. This was about a month in after the lockdown.
You know, it's interesting. I've seen a lot of professional sports players with similar type of conditions, whether it was shoulder or hip. And as we said, all those organ systems come into play, both from a biochemical point of view, but also from an emotional. And we look at everything from structural, chemical, emotional. And you get some of these guys that end up with being, one, resentful because they got hurt. They're angry because they got hurt. But the problem is it continues to perpetuate the problem. And it's a recidivistic situation. Things start getting better, but then the coach tells us you're not ready yet. Or they notice that they're starting to look for somebody to replace them or look into the future. So all of this builds up and it has a cascading effect. You know, for years I've treated many of the Washington football team players. I got to be careful with saying that ugly word, right? But anyway, they are, you know, amazing human specimens of strength and speed and capacity and the like. And these guys show up with injuries that in most cases, because of applied kinesiological procedures that we utilize in the office, can be rapidly taken care of and get them back on the thing. And what you're trying to do with these guys is you're trying to get them so that they can go back to practice, not necessarily fix them, but you got to fix the emotional piece as well with it. We'll talk to you about that probably in a whole program by itself, but we're coming up to the break. And this is a fascinating program. We're going to get into more intimacies of those things as we go through. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are indeed, even though that is kind of a cool day outside in Washington and rainy and spitting and so forth, but you know what? Enjoy it. Find something really fun to do and get some exercise and, you know, bundle up, put a hat on, put a scarf on, go for a walk, get outside. You make you feel a whole lot better. My guest in studio or live, wherever we happen to be, my studio is my home these days. It's like, you know, I feel like Mark Levin, right? Deep in the bowels of whatever, I'm at home. But this is a really lovely place. Scott Lamp, Dr. Scott Lamp, and we're talking about hip and knee pain. But Scott, I want to take a minute and we want to talk about a COVID moment, right?
Okay.
Now, right. Interestingly, that we have to continue to do this. But we worked a deal recently for our patients with a laboratory that produces something called AirTamer. And an AirTamer is a little personal ionizer unit that you can wear around your neck. And it emits millions of negative ions every second. It removes about 99% of viruses from the air within 20 minutes, all viruses, and reduces smoke around you by 98.9% within minutes. It reduces your VOC levels by 52% over, this is enormous. I'm wearing one all the time now in the office when I'm teaching on planes. This thing is like unbelievable. So, keep your personal airspace nice and clean and not worry about anybody having anything because you're not going to have a problem. You know, with this thing hanging around your neck, it works so much better than any mask you're ever going to put around you. The data's there. Go to RozelleCare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, RozelleCare.com. And go to our iStore. It's up at the top. It'll drop down, and it's right there. We've got a 20% discount from you or for you from the manufacturer. So check it out today and we'll get that out to you. It's worth you going in and checking this. Trust me, I bought one for my entire family and my grandchildren and my children and Sue and I and staff. We're going to wear these things. They're amazing. My guest, as I said, Dr. Scott Lamp, he will be doing our online presentation this Wednesday evening on hip and knee pain. Meanwhile, if you'd like to talk to us, give us a call right now at 888-630-9620. That's 888-630-9625. Scott.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about the emotional side of this craziness called hip and knee pain. But let's get into, I want to touch a little bit more on how these things begin to work. We know that muscles control joints.
Right.
And, you know, that we have hip flexors and we have knee flexors, you know, and we have extensors in both areas and so forth. And sometimes they misfire, and that can be as a result of a spinal problem.
Right.
It can be a result of a organ muscle phenomena. There's also these bugs, if you will, that get into the joint spaces and decide to set up housekeeping. And there's also heavy metals and toxicities that get into these things. And it can happen in any joint in the body, including teeth or shoulders, but we're talking about hip and knees, and we see them a lot there. And because they're dependent joint spaces, people are walking on them all the time. Let's talk about that a little bit. How prevalent, in your opinion, based on, you know, the years of practice that you've been at this, that you see this kind of phenomena that leads to a patient having surgery?
I'd say maybe, I don't know if you would disagree with me, Tom, but maybe, I don't know, 10, 20%, sometimes like that. I see people at least having some of that type of thing, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's actually when you combine both, you know, after almost 44 years of practice, I see it, unfortunately, way too often, particularly when there are multiple joints that are involved.
Right.
You might see spinal degeneration and you see a hip and the knee starts breaking down. And, you know, the other, you know, we used to kid around, you know, somebody goes to the doc and says, well, your right knee is really old and so forth. And well, my left knee is just as old as my right knee. Now you've got degeneration happening in other joint spaces. It's like, there's a piece there that's missing. We go to heavy metal toxicity. Let's talk about that because it's impactful in restoring function to any joint anywhere in the body, particularly with hips and knees because they're dependent. They're weight-bearing joints. Mm-hmm. Where do we get the exposures and why do they have a propensity for the joint spaces?
Well, I think one of the things is take a look at some of the things like you just talked about yourself, and you've had some replacements on your teeth there that you get permanents put in. And usually what happens, there's a titanium screw. There's an abutment piece that's put in there that's titanium. there's zirconium and those kind of pieces that are being used. Now, obviously, with joint replacements, you've got those kind of things that happen directly. But then also, where do these things, heavy metals, go in our society? And you've got things that are stabilizers and vaccines, from mercury to aluminum to some other factors. There's also those chemistries that are in foods and, tin cans that we have to drink some of those things from that, from aluminum cans themselves, aluminum cookware to one of the number one ingredients in unarmed as perspirant, antiperspirant. And when you read ingredients on a label, the first thing you see is the one that has the most of it. And I still can't believe a lot of people don't realize, with deodorant, the first thing that you see in an antiperspirant, I should say, is aluminum zirconium. It's the first one. It's not the second, fourth, or fifth, or 12th one down the list. It's the first one. And this clogs up. The goal of it is to clog up the sweat gland to make it work. But you're absorbing those things in. And we have things like Alzheimer's now, which is away from just the joint pain. We got all these other things that have an impact, but they can also get into the joints too. So there's multiple errors and things and pollution, the pollutants that are out there. They're creating some of this stuff.
You know, the thing that people don't understand either is that heavy metals, your body tries to protect you, so it locks them down. It can only get rid of so much. It gets rid of it through the gallbladder. Yeah. And that's the primary organ system that helps break this stuff down. But here's the situation. They stack on top of each other. Mm-hmm. Even though you got a little bit of this, you got a little bit of that, you got a little bit of this, the impact is a cumulative irritation to that system, and it could cause tremendous problems. And we could get into its effect. But
one of the key things, it stores in fat. And you just mentioned something, gallbladder. So you go about fat. How big is the fat that makes up most of our brain? The fat pads are in certain areas of the body. And what happens if you get your gallbladder removed?
No, you can't break anything up. And what people don't realize, once the gallbladder is gone, they need digestive enzymes at every meal the rest of their life. And you continue to produce the bile. You just don't have a container now to hold on to it. But, we're segueing, and this is an interesting subject, and you and I could get into it forever, but let's relate it back to what we're talking about in that craziness in knee. We're seeing, we have patients that come in and they ask us about stem cell. And as it is today, kind of interestingly, I'm interviewing a couple of physicians that, one of them may end up working with us. We had it available before COVID, and we had stopped it. And now we're opening back up that functional medicine protocol in stem cell work in the practice. Because once it gets to that place and the joint's destroyed, we can stabilize it. We can keep the patient in a more comfortable place. But the restoration of the joint, particularly in a weight-dependent joint, is more challenging. It's more difficult. And that's why we want to bring that piece, and bringing in people who really understand that into the practice. And it's another subject. But let's talk about restoration. Somebody who has knee pain, and now we won't even go into the mechanics of degeneration, but somebody who has knee pain, it can come from multiple areas. What are they?
Well, I'm trying to see where you want to go with this here.
Structural, structural from the knee bones connected to stuff.
So the knee pain can come from a couple different places. I mean, again, the cartilage breakdown, you have wear bone on bone, is going to be cause some pain irritations there too. Ligament pain can cause what they call scleritogenous pain. There's pain that can be caused from that itself. The muscle being overused can cause what we call trigger point pains. The muscle itself is irritated, so it can refer pain into the knee itself. These are all the more or less structural pieces that play a part. Synovial fluid is a very slippery substance that sometimes also, if they have particular problems, in that being attacked by a bacterial or viral type things that could be associated with that, causing problems in the degeneration of the joint. The list goes on.
Scott, somebody walks in with knee pain or hip pain, and they're a runner, they're a skier, and now they're sidelined. They can't get out and do it. They do inline skating, that kind of stuff, or they just simply want to be able to walk and go outside and walk and stretch a little bit. How successful is the approach that we take relative to looking at muscle function, looking at the mechanics of the body from the foot all the way up, and be able to discern and differentiate the different pieces? How successful is it in getting people back into their normal life and the things that they want to do?
Okay. If you're taking something as an athlete coming in and they're taking care of themselves reasonably well, I'd say that's almost like 90% plus. If you're giving somebody who's been sitting and not being idle on the sideline for a long period of time, that drops down a little bit because of how much degeneration you see at that particular point. But there's a lot of corrective type things. There's a lot of nuances, especially with athletes, because you have to correct those small nuances along the imbalances that might be there. But 95 plus.
You know, when you think of something being 95 plus restorable, it's like craziness to go on steroids. It's craziness to go on and taking medication that can cause impact across the board and other systems, other areas.
Well,
I don't get it. I don't understand why we get so locked into the monoptic viewpoint of take this to get rid of this. It's only the symptom process.
I don't think people realize how much, like, the aspect of steroids is supposed to stop. Well, you get pain with inflammation. Understand. But if you take a steroid shot to stop the inflammation, part of the inflammatory process of the body is heals itself. In the steroid, you're actually not necessarily healing something. You're just stopping everything. And when you have that kind of situation, you know, like, I take an example, like even in the medical model too, when you have something with somebody with an Achilles tendon problem, for example, and you don't want to do steroid injections into it. And one of the reasons why, you just increase the possibility of ruptures because the body doesn't necessarily heal well. And these people go to multiple shots, let alone over a long period of time affecting your immune system and your own regulatory system of how you're supposed to be handling inflammation through the adrenal gland. So those are all parts that can play a problem with this steroid shot.
You know, the adrenal system, we've talked about so many times in so many different subject areas, is this organ that sits on top of the kidneys. It's your fight-flight mechanism. It's the thing that makes you fight the tiger or run away from it, either way. And what happens over a period of time when you're young and you're vibrant and you're strong and your energy is good, that fight-flight system is working well. You're producing your steroids, your own steroids. You're producing something called a mineral corticoid, which are chemistries that strengthen and protect ligaments and tendons. It has that relationship, but we said organ muscle patterns, and there's several muscles that affect the knee that are related to that system. So, but when somebody gets older and they've had the slings and arrows of life and their body's been stressed over a period of time, that fight flight system begins to fail them and they don't have the recuperative power. They don't have the ability to dumb down that inflammatory response like they did when they were younger. Can that be reversed, Scott?
Certainly can. And I think one of the things we're looking at is what's the chemistry to help support that? You know, and the thing is like, are we just daydreaming when we're talking about this? And Tom, why do we always go back to blue zones with me? I know that I keep on talking about that. look at the world. You really got to look at people who are, all right, how do I compare myself to 80 years old to somebody who lives in Costa Rica or lives in Italy or Greece, and they're still moving around. They're still part of the community. They're still doing things, gardening and doing those kind of things. And you look at what they do, clean diets. They don't take life so seriously. They have a lot of omega-3s and some of it because they're all coastal places and they're eating a lot of fish. And there's a sense of community and they're all moving. And I think one of the things also when we move, you got to use the whole body. I like the whole body concept, not just like, okay, I'm going to linear walk. What are you going to do to go side to side motion to feed that cartilage on both sides? Cartilage loves to move. It doesn't like to be freeze up. You dry up your cartilage, it's like taking a sponge and putting it on a table and it starts to rot away. You got to feed that whole joint. That's why it's like Tai Chi and yoga is so good, because you do those things.
You know, our environment and our lifestyle in this country is so acidic. I was making a comment the other day that we spend more money, twice as much than any other country in the world, on healthcare, and we are the sickest country around. It's unbelievable. We're number 35 on the hit parade. So you have to look at our environment. You have to look at what it is that we're doing to ourselves that prevents us to heal. And you go to, particularly in the world of COVID right now, you know, you're angry, you have resentment, you're just irritated. In my entire life, I've never seen a perfect storm like this. This is, and we're seeing the result of that with patients that come in the office. We have to refocus, readjust. You know, the Turks, and I don't know if I pronounce the word properly, but they have a comment, and you know, when something happens and upsetting, and it's called Fruken Mas, right? And it means it doesn't matter. You know, it just flip, you just forget about it, right? My daughter, when she was little, said Farkin Mess. But if the bottom line is that, you know, it's an attitude of setting aside. And if there's any Turkish people listening to me, I'm sure that I destroyed whatever it was that I said. But that was the idea of it. You know, it's important that we put all the structural, chemical, emotional pieces together, particularly in hip and knee problems. If we really want to restore function, there's no reason, none whatsoever, that anybody should suffer in an ongoing process like that. We're coming up to a break. Dr. Scott Lamp is in studio with me. He will be presenting this Wednesday evening. All you got to do is go to RozelleCare.com, register for the class, and we'll send you the link. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday on the Eastern Seaboard at 11 a.m. Make sure you tell your friends that we're here and listen to us as we bring you the most important information, if you will, not only on the crazy viral pattern that's out there, but on the things that you can do to optimize your health and make things a whole lot better. Dr. Scott Lamp is in studio with me today, and we are talking about hip and knee pain and you know, why it stops you. And, but unfortunately, a lot of people don't know that it can be fixed, and they just wait until, well, you know, we're going to have to do surgery. We're going to have to do knee replacement. We're going to have to do this. And it's not necessarily true. This Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott will have a online presentation for you. And all you have to do to register for that is simply go to RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com, RozelleCare.com, and register. We'll send it to you. You can watch it in the privacy of your own home and send it to your friends. And then ultimately, at some point, we'll have it posted as well. Dr. Scott, let's wrap this up a little bit and tell me what we haven't said. No, seriously, what can people learn from going on and watching the presentation that you're going to be doing this Wednesday evening?
Well, we're going to cover a lot of things in regards to the nutritional part of it, the organ relationship for, towards it, the acupuncture, the muscle balancing and all that thing. But I think one of the key things, more than anything, that people are dehydrated. The cartilage itself loves water. It actually makes part of that cushion. 90% of your cartilage in your spine is going to be water with or actually contrapting water to it. So it's 90% water. The other part is cartilage. So drinking water itself, I've had people who get better just on their knee pain, just getting their water up to where it needs to be, which is basically about a half their body weight in ounces. And or another way to take a look at it is your urine looking clear? Is it dark yellow? Is it, you know, it's got the yellow color in there, so it shows you that you're not getting the proper hydration you need to get.
You know, here's an interesting situation that most people might think about. And if they've gone to anybody like us, they're told about, if they've had any therapy done, they've been encouraged about, and that for every pound, excess pound you have around your waistline, mm-hmm. that's four more pounds of stress on your knees and then through your lower extremity. So folks, listen, you know, unfortunately we're a society that weighs way too much, and we see our children growing up with a lot of extra poundage on them because they're not getting outside. They're stuck to computer screens, as we all are. You know, even in the world of COVID, there's no reason for you not to be able to get outside. And by the way, I'm going to tell you again, when you're outside, take the mask off and get some oxygen in your body and walk, because you know what? You have to be, you know, face to face and kissing cousins with somebody to get this thing. And I'll also encourage you, your vitamin D and your vitamin C are critical. And by the way, if you go online at RozelleCare.com, we have a wellness package for you that you can pick up to support your immune system, as well as, remember, going to our iStore and checking out the Air Tamer. Protect yourself. There's things you can do, not only from this, but from other viral patterns. Dr. Scott talked about, you know, the viruses that get into joint spaces and the bacteria that gets into joint spaces. You can make a difference. You can change this. You know, we've said that our food supplies and the environment that we live in are not the best, and they're not the most encouraging. So we have to, you know, make a difference and shift. Dr. Scott, thanks. I'm looking forward to your presentation as always. I always learn something from you that I hadn't thought about when you're with me on the program. We're coming up to the end of the show. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Tell everybody about us. We'll see you next week. I love you all. Bye.
Take care, all.